pleasure to meet a customer who does. Always use the right paper for the job, that's what I say. The important thing is to make stamps hard to forge, said Moist, leafing through the samples. On the other hand, it mustn't cost us anything like a penny to produce a penny stamp. The watermarks are your friend there, Mr. Lipvig, said Mr. Spools. Not impossible to fake, though, said Moist, and then added, so I've been told. Oh, we know all the tricks, Mr. Lipvig. Don't you worry about that, said Mr. Spools. We're up to scratch. Oh, yes. Chemical voids, thaumic shadows, timed inks, everything. We do paper and engraving, and even printing for some of the leading figures in the city, although, of course, I am not at liberty to tell you who they are. He sat back in his worn leather chair and scribbled in a notebook for a moment. Well, we could do you 20,000 of the penny stamps, uncoated stock, gummed, at $2 a thousand plus set-up, said Mr. Spools. 10 pence less for ungummed. You'll have to find someone to cut them out, of course. Can't you do that with some kind of machine, said Moist. No, it wouldn't work. Not with things as small as this. Sorry, Mr. Lipvig. Moist pulled a scrap of brown paper out of his pocket and held it up. Do you recognise this, Mr. Spools? What? Is that a pin paper? Mr. Spools beamed. Ha! That takes me back. Still got my old collection in the attic. I've always thought it must be worth a bob or two, if only... Watch this, Mr. Spools, said Moist, gripping the paper carefully. Stanley was almost painfully precise in placing his pins. A man with a micrometer couldn't have done it better. Gently, the paper tore down the line of holes. Moist looked at Mr. Spools and raised his eyebrows. "'It's all about holes,' he said. "'It ain't nothing if it ain't got a hole.' 3 hours went past. Foremen were sent for. Serious men in overalls turned things on lathes. Other men soldered things together, tried them out, changed this, reamed that, then dismantled a small handpress and built it in a different way. Moist loitered on the periphery of all this, clearly bored, while the serious men fiddled, measured things, rebuilt things, tinkered, lowered things, raised things, and, eventually, watched by Moist and Mr. Spools, tried out the converted press officially. Chonk. It felt to Moist that everyone was holding their breath so hard that the windows were bending inwards. He reached down, eased the sheet of little perforated squares off the board, and lifted it up. He tore off one stamp. The windows snapped outwards. People breathed again. There wasn't a cheer. These weren't men to cheer and whoop at a job well done. Instead, they lit their pipes and nodded to one another. Mr. Spools and Moist von Lipvig shook hands over the perforated paper. "The patent is yours, Mr. Spools," said Moist. "You're very kind, Mr. Lipvig. Very kind indeed. Oh, here's a little souvenir." An apprentice had bustled up with a sheet of paper. To Moist's astonishment, it was already covered with stamps. Ungummed, unperforated, but perfect miniature copies of his drawing for the one-penny stamp.
"'Iconodiabolic engraving, Mr. Lipvig,' said Spools, seeing his face. "'No one can say we're behind the times. "'Of course, there'll be a few little flaws this time round, "'but by early next week we'll—' "'I want penny and two-penny ones tomorrow, Mr. Spools, please,' said Moist firmly. "'I don't need perfect, I want quick.' "'My word, you're hot off the mark, Mr. Lipvig. "'Always move fast, Mr. Spools. "'You never know who's catching up.'
"'Yes, good motto, Mr. Lipvig. Nice one,' said Mr. Spools, grinning uncertainly. "'And I want the 5 pennies and $1 the day after, please. "'You'll scorch your boots, Mr. Lipvig,' said Spools. "'Got to move, Mr. Spools. Got to fly.' Moist hurried back to the post office as fast as decently possible, feeling slightly ashamed. He liked Teamer and Spools. He liked the kind of business where you could actually speak to the man whose name was over the door. It meant it probably wasn't run by crooks. And he liked the big, solid, unflappable workmen, recognising in them all the things he knew he lacked, like steadfastness, solidarity, and honesty. You couldn't lie to a lathe or fool a hammer. They were good people and quite unlike him. One way in which they were quite unlike him was that none of them, right now, probably had wads of stolen paper stuffed into their jacket. He really shouldn't have done it, he really shouldn't. It was just that Mr. Spools was a kind and enthusiastic man, and the desk had been covered with examples of his wonderful work. And when the perforation press was being made, people had been bustling around and not really paying Moist much attention. And he'd tidied up. He couldn't help himself. He was a crook. What did Vetinari expect? The postmen were arriving back as he walked into the building. Mr. Grote was waiting for him with a worried smile on his face. "'How's it going, Postal Inspector?' said Moist cheerfully.
"'Pretty well, sir, pretty well. There's good news, sir. People have been giving us letters to post, sir. Not many yet, and some of them are a bit, jokey, but we got a penny off of them every time. That's 7 pence, sir,' he said proudly, proffering the coins. "Oh, boy, we eat tonight," said Moist, taking the coins and pocketing